Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Friday, April 25th. It's finally Friday, Charlotte. I thought it would never come this
week. I know. Right? And April 25th, you probably haven't seen the movie Miss Congeniality, but I'm sure the two girls that you have seen it.
I did, but that was a long time ago, yeah.
Well, okay, so one of the contestants that's up for being Miss, is it Miss USA? I don't know what they're going for.
Right.
She gets asked a question when she's on stage, what would be your perfect date? And she says, her answer is, well, I think it would have to be April 25th because it's not too hot and it's not too cold.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, that was in the movie. Okay,
yeah,
that wasn't real.
And that's today.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's pretty cold today.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's I just need a jacket.
It's funny you remember that.
Well, I actually saw it on Instagram today. Someone posted a photo. But
okay.
It's pretty funny. Made me laugh a lot.
It is funny.
But it's true because I don't have a jacket on and I'm cold, so.
Really?
Yeah, I just need a light. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. You just need a light jacket.
Right. That's
true. So I just need a light jacket.
And you dress like it's summer, like in midsummer.
I did.
I put
a tube top on, which is very not appropriate because it's cold and, and gloomy today.
Yeah, well, in a couple of minutes, it'll get really warm like it has every day. But so we have a full show today. We're going to have a phone guest in a few minutes talking about women and feminine and all that kind of stuff. And then we have two exciting guests in the studio. One of them is returning, and we'll get to them in just a second. And
very beautiful ladies.
Yeah, definitely. So so we'll take pictures. Here we don't have video, so you see. But that's what I like about radio. It's like you have to imagine what's going on. You know?
And I kind of like that because when I'm in my car in the morning and I listen to all the music stations, but when there is like a couple minutes of talking, I like to make up what these people might look like.
Yeah,
the only one I know is Ryan Seacrest and Mario Lopez.
Yeah.
But everyone else, I really don't know, and I don't look on the websites and stuff.
Yeah.
But I like wondering what they look like.
Yeah, I know. I always have. That's why when I started the station, I decided to put a lot of pictures, everybody's pictures all over the place, so people will know what they look like,
you
know, because people often wonder. But at the same time, I like the magic of radio where you can't see what's going on. You know, you focus on the audio. And it's almost like getting to know a person before you see them, you know, like when you talk to them on the phone or something,
mm-hmm,
you never
definitely.
See them. And things like that. But, of course, today with Skype and everything and FaceTime, you get to see everybody, you know?
And selfies.
Yeah, selfies.
And apps like Snapchat where you take a selfie or a photo and then you can say how long you want it to, like, play for. And then it's still destroyed forever.
Right.
Quotation forever.
Right.
It goes somewhere.
I know. And that's a crazy thing. I mean, what's the point of that app, you know? I mean, either you send it to someone or you don't. But I guess you keep them from distributing it, huh?
Yeah. And I actually, well, I think it was made for sexual photos.
Well, obviously.
Yeah. You know? But I use it for, like, just ugly faces of myself. That I don't want my friends to have, but they can see it for like 5 seconds. That's fine. But I know that they'll use it, especially on my birthday. Gosh, I get nervous before my birthday because that's all my friends do. They post terrible photos of me on Facebook.
Really?
I'm like, this is so embarrassing. So embarrassing.
I know. That's the thing is that you give people power over you when they start posting shit about you.
I know.
It's funny. But Facebook is cool. You know, I like Facebook. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Some people don't like it and stuff, but I find it keeps me connected and everything. And
it really does.
You know?
Like, I just found out the one girl that I went to school with in England is pregnant and expecting a baby.
Really?
I would never know that if I wasn't friends with her on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm just being curious.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't talk to her or anything. I mean, I'll probably say congratulations when the baby comes, but it's nothing. But it's just interesting to know that, wow, I'm living in LA. You've got a kid.
It's
another
a small
girl
world,
has like five kids. It's like, wow.
I know. I know. You know, when I came to the United States in the 70s, you know, I mean, obviously there was no internet. Even phone was expensive. So mostly people would write letters and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, a phone call would be like 10 bucks. You'd go, well, you know, I don't know if I'm going to call or not.
No. And I remember even when I first came to America, I had to use Skype to speak to my mom. Mm-hmm. And it was only, I didn't have time to Skype her every day because of the time difference and I was busy. So it'd be once a week. And then I finally got an iPhone.
Yeah.
But it wasn't for like 2 or 3 years that I didn't have an iPhone. I only have my computer to talk to her.
Right.
And I don't know what I did because I speak to her every day.
Really?
She's my best friend. And I don't know how I coped with only having my computer and only because we didn't email.
Yeah.
I don't even think I had an email at that point. I had my school email, but that was for school stuff. It was the only time I used it.
But it's cool. At least you got email and stuff like that. You know, life is a lot easier now. I got to tell
you.
It
really is.
And I wonder what it's going to be like 50 years from now or something. You know?
And now, but I kind of feel overwhelmed because I get text messages to my iPad. And I'm like, why?
Really? Yeah.
I don't want my text messages to my iPad.
I'll
That's
tell
just
you why.
Frustrating.
Because you get an iMessage. It's not text. It's iMessage.
Yeah.
Probably from only from people with
iPhones,
right?
It is. But everyone I text is mostly iPhone, which...
Right.
But I don't want that
You can
on my
change
iPad.
It. I think on your iPad, you can probably change it.
I hope so. Yeah. Because I was so confused. And this morning, my phone was... my phone was on Do Not Disturb.
Right.
I put it on that during the night. But my iPad was going off, and I was like, oh, my God, there's too many things that people can contact me on. Just leave me alone. I'm sleeping. Let me rest for, like, a couple hours. Oh, my God.
That's funny. Yeah. And
that's the only downside of my iPad so far.
Yeah. Huh? Well, sounds good. I mean, it's a fun thing. I played with it a little bit last night, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know? It's just a large iPhone. That's all it is. You know?
Yeah, and a smaller laptop. It's just so much more convenient than carrying my laptop everywhere.
Yeah. So I saw you posted pictures you hosted. Was it last night or the night before?
It was the night before.
The night before.
That was, the night before was the red carpet. And then last night I did an interview with a guy downtown, a musician.
Oh, okay. But I saw you interviewing a woman. Is that the one you told us about yesterday on
Taraji,
the show?
Yes, Taraji. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, she was great. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well,
she was in The Case of Benjamin Button.
There
was a few good... One guy was in Harry Potter. One guy was in Twilight. So there's some pretty big people there.
Awesome.
It's a great movie. It's out today.
Really?
I highly recommend it.
What's
From
it
the Rough.
Oh, From the Rough.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll check it out. So it comes out today?
Yeah.
Is it like an indie film or a big film?
I don't know. I'm guessing it's maybe an indie film. It's an it's about an African-American. It's a big African-American movie because it stands a lot for the African-American community. And I said this wrong yesterday. Women empowerment, whatever that word is.
So you still don't know?
Neither sounds right. No, neither still sounds right.
I know, you're right, huh?
But... Yeah, I recommend it. It's really good.
Awesome.
Really good movie.
Awesome. So maybe we'll check it out. Anyway, let's bring in our guests before the phone guest calls in so we sort of can establish a relationship here. we have Donna Hood and we have Miranda. What is your last name, Miranda? Do you want to give it out? You're going to have to get very close to the mic. You're sitting so far, you might as well sit in the other office.
my stage name is Miss Miranda.
Miss Miranda.
Just
okay.
Miranda.
Okay, fine. Miranda it is. And Donna, you've been on the show before. And we love having you back. You're beautiful and fun and everything.
Thank you.
And you are a burlesque dancer, but you do more than dance. You've actually produced your own show.
I do.
And so tell us a little bit about it.
So Tease If You Please is a running burlesque show. It's been running since November 1st. We've been so fortunate to have a very successful burlesque show running in downtown Los Angeles at a place called First and Hope. It's across from the Walt Disney Concert Hall, and you can go and have dinner and cocktails and watch an amazing, beautiful show, and I'm just so proud to call it my own because it's been great since the start, so I'm so fortunate.
And that's really cool.
So you've been doing it for, like, what, 6 months already
right? Yeah, it feels like, it really honestly feels like we just started it yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, but I mean, it's been a learning lesson. Every single one I've learned something new, and it's gotten better and better, and the audience is always very responsive, and that's all you can really hope for at a burlesque show is people, wow.
Yeah, that's true, you know. And, so, and get people excited a little bit, too.
Yeah, definitely. You know?
Sorry,
yeah.
Sam. It's burlesque okay. dancing, it's when you wear, like, beautiful outfits, right? And it's very sexy dancing. And it reminds me of Moulin Rouge. Is that kind of what
it
is?
Yeah, I think that a lot of people, they maybe get some of the inspiration from things like that. But a lot of ours is the old-fashioned striptease. You wear really glamorous outfits. Mm-hmm. Some people tell a story. Some people just do a striptease.
Right.
But everybody in the show is very sought after, very busy, traveling the world, performing. And I'm so lucky to be sitting here with Miss Miranda.
Uh-huh.
And she came all the way from London to come perform.
Wow. You see, you keep getting
English people
here. You're
from England? I am, yes.
I'm from Sheffield.
Are you?
I don't sound like it, but I am.
I was trying to place your accent. It's like, oh.
Miranda,
English tea.
Miranda, let me ask you a question. Do you want people to hear you?
Yeah.
Okay, then get closer to the mic, okay?
You can almost kiss it.
You can move your chair forward, you know? I've never seen somebody sit so far from it. She wants to relax and lean back. Well, you can't. You got work to do.
Early. Oh, gosh.
That's cool. So you're from London and you came... Do you live here now?
No, I'm doing a little bit of a tour of the States at the moment. I came over to New Orleans, and then I went to Vegas to perform in a show with Donna there, and now I'm here in LA.
Wow. So you're here for a limited time, though?
Yes, I'll be flying back to London on Monday.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I come over here regularly to perform, so.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So how long have you been doing burlesque now?
I've been doing it for about 11 years now.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you've made a career out of it.
Yeah.
And then, so you travel around and,
I do,
and you do limited gigs?
I travel the world. I perform all over Europe. Recently, I've been performing in the US a lot since I got a permit to come and work here. So that's been really nice.
Wow.
And yeah, just I love traveling. I love seeing new places and meeting new people.
Yeah.
And I love my job.
So you live in the dream.
Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't want to, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, listen, our guest is calling and she's been trying for a few minutes. So let's take it so then we can go on and ask you more and stuff. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning. This is Suzanne McQueen.
Yes, Suzanne. How you doing?
I'm calling in as your guest. As
yes, you
as
are.
I
know. And I saw you've been trying for a few minutes, but we were waiting for 10:15 here because we have other guests in the studio. But that's fine. Yes. Suzanne, where are you calling us from this morning?
I'm calling from Ashland, Oregon.
Oh, from Oregon. Wow. I don't know many people
West
from
Coast.
Oregon. Yeah. Are there any people living there other than you?
A lot of people from Southern California and the Bay Area. Yeah,
I see. Okay, so a lot of people move.
Yeah, it's where Californians move to when they get tired of traffic.
Did you say
Astoria?
No, Ashland. It's bottom of the state. It's right over the California border.
It's the
first place you come into on I-5.
I see. So are you a former native Californian too?
I am. I grew up in Orange County.
Oh, really?
Nice.
So you ended,
mm-hmm.
How do you end up in Oregon out of all places?
Well, in the 1980, Southern California was such a fun place to grow up in the 60s and the 70s. But I moved out of there in 1980. I just really got tired of the traffic. I mean, I do miss the weather and my family's still down there. But I just started heading north. I wanted to be near the trees and all of that, and I lived in Big Sur for 8 years.
Wow.
And got married, had a couple kids there, and then eventually we moved up to Ashland because it's such a gorgeous little town and a great place to raise kids.
I've
been here for a little over 26 years.
Really?
Yeah.
And so since you've been there, you've been writing and stuff, or do you do other things as well?
Well, now I write full-time and do workshops and things like that, yes. But originally, when I got here, I was actually cutting hair, and I ended up owning a couple of little salons and eventually built the first and largest day spa here in Ashland and had that for almost 8 years, and I sold that in 2003 and then began writing. I began writing a business series, actually, about a way that I had turned my business around and was very successful at that. But what I ended up writing about ultimately was very different, and that was the psychological journey of women and their experience of their hormones.
Wow.
And it's an entirely different way to view it, and something that benefits men as well.
Right.
Very cool.
So this is what you've been writing about all along for the past 20 years? You focused on this, or?
Well, no. I actually, this is a particular practice that I discovered for myself in the late 1990s, and never planned on writing about it. Never planned on writing about this topic in a million years. It just wasn't. It wasn't my thing, and it wasn't something that I thought about writing about or even addressing, because I never thought that my hormones were anything that actually made me tick. And I didn't like the reputation that women had around them. Everything that was thrown at women and continues to be is pretty negative. That's around right. Our hormonal cycle. And so it wasn't something I was going to talk about or write about. But this particular view came to me sort of as an epiphany, and I began to follow this practice, and I found that my hormonal rhythm was so incredibly accurate as a navigational system within me that I continued to do that for 7 years, and again, never, and even then never planned on writing about it until a guy friend of mine at a class reunion convinced me that I needed to write about it, because he finally understood, when I explained it to him, he understood the rhythmic sex drive of women. And he said, you just really need to write about this. And so I put my business series on the back burner, and I started to write about this. I thought it would take me 2 months to write it, and it ended up taking another 7 years to write the book.
Wow. So you think that there's four parts of the month, right? The four seasons, you call it? You call it the four seasons. The book's called Four Seasons in 4 Weeks.
Yes, 4 Seasons in 4 Weeks.
So you think there's four different times of the month where women act differently?
Oh, well, absolutely, because it's the, you know, here we've been really living in, for better or for worse, it hasn't really served anyone very well, but we've all been living in a patriarchy for so long that women ended up really having to adapt to a man's rhythm. And we actually have a very different rhythm as far as our hormones go, you know, for primal reasons. And so as women, we are really, if you get down to the raw basic nature of it, we're construction zones. Every single month during our cycling years, we build a nest, a uterine nest, every month, and if there's no pregnancy that occurs, we tear that nest down. And so we actually end up having four identifiable phases that this takes us through. And it's no different than any other natural rhythm in the universe. We have a resting phase, a building phase, an expression phase, and a deconstructing phase, and back to rest. Uh-huh. And as humans, we all have these phases. We have a 24-hour circadian rhythm, men and women both. We sleep at night, that's rest. We get up in the morning, we build up our energy. At some point we peak, and then we wind back down before right. we go back to bed. And sometimes we might do that a couple of times during the day, but rhythms in the universe all have these phases. Women just happen to have them all in a month's time. Right. And science is showing us that men have it throughout a year. What a man has in a year, women have in a month.
Wow.
So I call it 4 Seasons in 4 Weeks, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. So
and when we learn that, then it's really helpful. It's helpful for women, and it's helpful for men.
For men, too.
In getting in sync with that.
Yeah, to understand it, all the transitions you go through within a month, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. that's interesting. So let's briefly discuss the four cycles and what they mean. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. So basically what I do is I take these approximate 28 days. I mean, this is a very broad template that I lay out in this book so that we have a place to start from. And then each woman would need to track, and I have her track for reasons beyond fertility. I have her track her physical energy, her sexual energy, her mental viewpoint, her beauty cycle, and her communication cycle. I was listening to your show in the last hour, and I don't know if that was a replay or if that was a live guest, but you were speaking with a woman who wrote a book on
being fat, getting wasted, and she
had a moment in the where she couldn't speak very well, and she said, "Oh gosh, that's my morning time, right? I'm not able to speak." And I thought that's exactly what we're talking about. This rhythm of ours. There are times when we do things a little better than other times. So within this, I take these 28 days. I break them down into four guided weeks. The first phase is week one. If a woman is cycling, she would start tracking on the first day of her period. If she's not cycling, she would start tracking on the first day of the new moon, because this is a rhythm that we don't lose past menopause. It just, it lessens a bit. But as women, we do not lose this female imprint that we have. So anyway, this first week would be the resting phase. And when a woman is on her period, she needs to be resting. The hormones are low. So that indicates that we need to be laying low. And women are not resting enough at all. Doesn't mean we're sick. Doesn't mean we can't go to work. Doesn't mean we can't run that marathon if that's what we've signed up to do. But what it does mean is that we need to be mindful. After work, we don't go and run that extra errand. After the marathon, we don't go out for pizza and beer. We go and we chill out at home. We go and lay down on the couch, and we let everybody know in our household that, you know, this is natural. This is what I need to do right now. I need to take care of myself. Because when women don't sleep during this, when they don't rest, when they don't slow down during this particular phase, it's no different than you and I not getting sleep at night. We have to rest, or we become very wired for the rest of the month, and things are just not as in alignment as they could be. We're not at our best. So what this cycle of ours teaches us is how this amazing navigational system within us can show us the optimal times to rest or make powerful decisions. You know, we need to do all these things all the time. This just shows us the optimal times.
Right.
A man in a woman's life can best be supportive. He can be successful at being supportive of her during this first week by really just being a sweetheart, you know, making dinner, rubbing her feet.
Sometimes sleeping. Hard for men to do that.
Yeah.
What's that?
I said sometimes it's hard for men to do that.
Yes, but when they understand this, here's the beauty behind it. When they understand this sequence, when they understand how they can be supportive, they're all in. I have had men be so excited about what I'm talking about, because it makes so much sense, and it's actually something that's very doable because they understand it. And in the book, I actually talk to the men quite a bit, and I have sections at the end of each of these phases that are specifically for the men, and I just say, you know, you don't have to do this, but if you really want to create the optimal relationship and really get in alignment with your partner, then this is what I suggest. And of course, it'll be up to her once she tracks her own cycle and she discovers what's unique to her. Then he needs to listen to her. But this is just the broad template that gives you an idea. But that first week, if the guy can be, yeah, just rubbing her feet, following her lead, even sexually, you know, it's just kind of a mellow time for both people. Chill out and watch a movie. You know, it's really a beautiful time. The second week, the hormones basically, in a real broad sense, go from 0 to 100. This woman is building her uterine nest right here, and the estrogen and the testosterone in her is really building. And this is the time when she really loves everybody and everything. So you just feel good. You feel good. You're attracting primally, we are attracting a partner. So if we're building a business, even, we are attracting clients. If it's our partner that we're, you know, if we have a partner, we really want the attention of that partner. I tell men that it's time to clear your calendars and you're going on dates. This is the time to really, you know, to really create a great playful week, and it's a very romantic week. There, we can't go in this short amount of time into all the intricacies of these weeks, but if you go to my website, you can grab a free poster off of there. Yes. that shows the four phases and gives you a few little tips.
Definitely. And we don't want you to give away the entire book, you know, so but this sounds
it's hard to do that. There's so many layers to it. Yeah,
I bet.
Yeah.
What's your website?
My website is 4s4w.com, like four seasons in 4 weeks. 4s, like Sam.
Right.
Mm-hmm. 4w.com.
Oh, okay, because we tried the other one that they gave us and it wasn't working. So
that's because I have a brand new website and we were between two websites. So I apologize for that. They were going back and forth. For a while, I had two websites up. It was kind of crazy. But as of yesterday, I have one now.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay. Oh, great. Yeah. And then it sends you to four seasons in 4 weeks. Okay. So I see what happens.
Yes.
Yeah.
They should all get you there, though. Four seasons in 4 weeks, four seasons, 4 weeks, four
right.
W. It'll all get you there.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome. And Suzanne, how long did, so you said it took you like, what, 7 years for this book?
Yes, that's correct.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So it must be nice to finally see it, see a daylight and out there. You know, it's like giving birth, right, to a baby.
Oh, it's such a fantastic feeling, Sam. I mean, it's just, and this book is beautiful. I just have to say because we have I have almost 60 images in it. It's a fully color, colored book. It's color coded for each of these phases. You just shoot right to the color edged pages, and you get to the the different phases. And so it's very easy that way. It starts out with some women's history of how we got this way to begin with, how we got so off of understanding our cycle. I get into natural rhythms of the universe, sacred geometry, and that kind of thing. I go into the primal sexual body of females so that we kind of understand, you know, what's connected to what and why it matters what's going on in the uterus each right. week, why that matters.
Wow.
And
very cool.
And then I just, you know, and then I get into the four phases, yeah. And then yeah. I teach women how to actually track.
Okay, sounds great. Suzanne McQueen, the book is 4 Seasons in 4 Weeks, and you can go to her website, 4 Seasons in 4 Weeks. Use the number 4 in both words. And this looks fascinating. Yeah, I can see the book on the website. It's illustrated and stuff. Very cool stuff.
I like the section, You, the Goddess of Beauty and Brains. It's very...
Yeah.
I'm going to
yeah.
read that and get some... Get some pick-me-ups.
Yes, exactly right, exactly right. This is all very positive. I get rid of all derogatory terms. I get rid of embarrassing terms and just make this thing, you know, really actually very good for everybody.
Right. You know? Awesome, Suzanne. Suzanne, this is fascinating. Everybody go out and get the book. At her website, I guess you can just Google her as well. And yes. Yeah, and much success with the book. Is it pretty new? Did it just come out?
No, it's been out for a year, actually, but I've been talking with women all over the world and holding some workshops and things like that, and so it's just sort of a ground grassroots movement that's actually growing, you know, larger and larger day by day.
Awesome.
Yeah. I can see why.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Suzanne. Thanks. Well, thank you so much. Take care of Oregon for us. In fact, I would like to come out sometimes. People do say it's beautiful up there. So,
Ashland particularly is a place that you must come to. It's a small little town. We've got the Oregon Shakespeare Festival here. That's a world-renowned theater, professional theater, and it's just an incredibly gorgeous, gorgeous town. You won't regret it. It's a great place to visit.
Wow, sounds good.
Awesome.
Suzanne, thank you, and
thank you.
All the best with the book.
Thank you, Sam and Charlotte. Thank you for having me today.
Thank you.
Of course. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, sounds fascinating to me.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, at least people can understand women and why they behave the
right?
way they do. Yeah.
That sounds like a great book for guys. Although yeah. I don't think they'll ever understand us.
No. I mean, we assumed there was only one cycle we couldn't deal with.
Well, I didn't know there was four.
And now there's four, yeah.
Yeah, that was, yeah, wow. Interesting. The last thing I do when I'm on my... when I'm on my period is rest.
Yeah.
Like I don't rest at all.
Really? Well, guess. Now you know. Maybe you should approach
it. Yeah, I guess it's when I'm menstruating. I guess I should say that.
We get the gist of it. We get the idea. Yeah. A lot of estrogen in the room today.
There is
we have
a lot of estrogen in this
three
room.
Three beautiful
right now.
Women. Now, Charlotte, you see why I wanted a radio show, right?
Right.
Yeah, so I can surround myself by estrogen. So back to you, ladies. So Donna, we discussed it before, but many people probably don't remember. I don't remember a lot of the stuff. Tell us how you got into burlesque.
I got into burlesque because I was a professional dancer, was doing all styles of dance, living in Houston, Texas. I was teaching contemporary jazz and hip hop. And I got onto a show here in L.A. called America's Best Dance Crew, came out, filmed the show. And then right afterwards, people were like, you need to move to L.A. You need to strike while the iron is hot. So went home and saved some money, came here, and then was working with just different music artists and things like that. And then all of a sudden, I got a notice to submit for Dita Von Teese's burlesque tour.
Wow. And she's like the biggest, right?
She's the creme de la creme. She's a lot of the reason that burlesque has revived itself, like because it was very big in the 30s and 40s. Mm. And I think that at one point it was kind of banned from the public. I think you could even get thrown in jail for saying the word burlesque
wow.
in the streets.
Really?
Wow. So I think that the burlesque kind of took a downfall for a while, but I think that Dita has really brought it back up to the mainstream and is why we're seeing a lot of the burlesque movement today.
Yeah. When were her golden years? I mean, I'm sure she's older now and everything.
Yeah, she's definitely older, but man, she still performs and she's still amazing. So I think that she's like a fine wine. Maybe she gets better with age.
Wow.
So I think that what's great about burlesque is I feel like you have to be a woman to really perform it well. You have to know your body really well and all these different things. And it's a very womanly genre.
Right.
Yeah. The genre of boylesque too.
There is boylesque. It's
about sexual expression. It doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter what you look like. It's about expressing your sexuality and playing a role, playing a character.
Right.
And now anyone can do it as long as they're a performer.
Yeah. Now, I wonder, because people do say often, you know, I mean, even girls in the adult industry and stuff, I get to express my sexuality. What does that mean to you, Miranda?
To me, personally, it's about being able to express all different sides of myself. I love being able to play any character that I want. If I want to play a playful, coquettish character, I can do that. If I want to be vampy and dangerous, I can do that. You know, I can be whoever I want.
Right.
And that's really attractive to me.
I think your chair is making noise, right?
Oh.
I was hearing it. I'm like, what's the noise from? Sorry, Miranda.
Right.
So, I mean, did you get to meet Vantis too?
I've met her several times, yeah.
Oh, really?
Obviously, I've been on the scene performing in London for a long time, and she's come over to London to perform a lot. And I got to meet her several times during Marilyn Manson's tour.
Very cool.
When he was doing his Golden Age of Grotesque album. I got backstage passes on that tour and got to meet both of them when I was a teenager, which obviously was a huge deal for me at the time.
Yeah. How did you get into burlesque?
I got into it when it was a really, really new scene in London. There were just two burlesque clubs, and I basically just started hearing about this exciting new thing that was happening, and it kind of brought together a lot of stuff that I was already really interested in. I come from quite a creative family. My granny was an actress in the 20s and 30s, so she's always kind of encouraged me to perform. I did a lot of musical theatre when I was at school and dance classes, so I think I was always going to end up being a performer, really.
Right.
Yeah.
And when I was quite a young teenager, I was very interested in theatre and costume, like making outfits and stuff like that.
Wow.
So when I started hearing about this kind of exciting underground neo-burlesque scene where these interesting characters kind of made their own outfits and created their own characters, you know, it was just really, really attractive to me. So I started going to the clubs on my own because I didn't know anyone who wanted to come with me.
Wow.
I was like this 17-year-old girl going like, oh, this is so exciting.
Wow, this is cool.
Yeah, I think the producers and the performers just kind of took a shine to me because I was so young and they were like, oh, come under my wing. You should start.
Yeah, here, we'll take care of you.
Yeah. Exactly.
So many men are so generous, aren't they, though?
It was mostly the ladies, actually.
Oh, really?
I think, yeah, they were just like, oh, you look interesting. And I was making all of my clothes at the time. I looked quite unusual. I made kind of strange Victorian-style clothes. And
really?
I think they just thought I looked interesting.
So, yeah, so you're very creative. No 9-to-5 in an office for you.
No.
No, not even close, right?
Never have been. I don't think I ever will. So I'm quite proud of that.
I know. You know, yesterday I was thinking about it because I don't know why, but during the day, I was thinking how lucky I am not to be in offices anymore, because there was a time in my life where I would do that 9-to-5 and it killed me. You know, I mean, you constantly watch the clock and everything. When you do something creative for yourself, if it's your own business or if it's a career that you have in entertainment, you know, you get to have your own hours, you know, for the most part. Mm-hmm. You get to see what it's like outside during the day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, definitely. Uh-huh.
I mean, that counts for a lot, yeah.
Yeah, it does count for a lot. I mean, you'd go like for 5 minutes to go grab something to eat and you'd be jealous of all the people
right.
that are outside sitting in restaurants and things like that, you know, so... But it does seem that nobody works in LA. I mean, the restaurants are so busy all the time. Yeah.
Everyone makes their own schedule here.
Exactly. Yeah. Gotta have time for that sunshine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Donna, are you originally from LA?
I'm not. I'm from Houston, Texas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. And when did you move here?
I moved here June of 2010.
Oh, really?
So I'm coming up on 4 years now.
Wow, that's cool. Well, you're definitely an Angelino now.
Definitely.
Yeah. And what made you move? The burlesque dancing?
I moved just because I wanted to perform. I mean, there wasn't... Houston is actually really up and coming now. Texas in general has become really big in the performing arts. And why it wasn't that way when I was here or there, whatever. Yeah. But, you know, when I was there, I was teaching. And I was really young. I was teaching from... when I was 16 all the way to, you know, 23 when I moved away. So I just thought to myself, like, why am I spending all my time teaching when I could be performing? These are the years that I should be really performing. So that's what really made me want to move to LA. It wasn't any one particular thing. It was just that I wanted to be in the place where I could create my own schedule and I could have an agent and make, you know, do all the things that I love to do day in and day out.
Right. Yeah. And now, so you decided after performing here for a while, you decided to start your own show.
Yeah,
producing your own show.
I think it's kind of funny how I stumbled across Tease If You Please, because I was performing. I had started, after I got off the Strip Hooray tour with Dita, I started really, really pushing the burlesque thing on my own. And I was performing in LA at places like Pourvu or No Vacancy, Harvard and Stone, any place where they had burlesque shows. And so I was really starting to create solo acts and really, really diving in and pushing all my time on it, all my money too. I think that I started doing that. I started traveling and I created a couple of really cool videos and started sending them to anybody who would look at them. And then eventually somebody hit me back in downtown Los Angeles and said, I really love what you're doing. I would love to give you your own show. And so that was, and he gave me a month to throw it all together. And that's a website, finding everybody, getting all the costumes together. Like, I mean, it was just a lot, but I'm so, so thankful that it happened because it pushed me even further than I could have seen myself going.
Right.
Do you perform in the show? Sorry, Sam.
I do perform in the show.
She does. She looks amazing.
Yeah, you know?
I mean, I've seen in the pictures. I haven't been to the show yet, but yeah, you look amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. It's really cool. It's a very hard thing to do to balance production and performance, but I've learned the art of deep breathing and I practice that such all throughout the night. Just if anything goes wrong, you just have to woosah. So it's just, you know, you just got to learn how to balance everything out and keep everybody calm. And the great thing is everybody in the show is super professional and they are pros at what they do. And so everybody comes together and it's such great energy and it just all makes for a well-oiled machine.
Wow. Awesome. So Miranda, so how long have you been on the show now, on this one, and Tease If You Please?
This will be the first time I've performed.
Oh, really?
Tease If You Please, yeah.
So it'll be one and the first and probably the only time, because you're leaving on Monday, you said, right?
Well, I'll be back.
Oh, you'll be back. Okay, yeah. Cool. So, Donna, do you like rotate dancers and stuff? Or are there...
Yes, I think I have about 8 burlesque performers that I rotate on a regular schedule. And then I have recently, since the show has been getting so much, it's been getting bigger on the net. Uh-huh. I think a lot of burlesque performers have been sending me messages, hey, I'm coming into LA, can I perform in the show? Which is amazing to have people from all different sides of not only the country, but the world looking to come and perform in the show. So I'm still blown away at that.
Yeah, yeah, congratulations.
So yeah, it's really cool. And you get to see something different every single time you come to the show. No Tease If You Please is ever the same, including the people who are regulars in the show. We all have multiple acts, multiple characters that we portray in the show. And so it's good to keep rotating because there are people that come to every show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there are people out there that are like true burlesque lovers and supporters. Yeah. And that to me, like, that's what I'm so thankful for, is that people want to keep coming back. So we always want to give them something too.
Yeah. I know, you give men, you know, stripping, sex, they'll be there every time, you know?
And you know what? And it's so funny, we're going to bring it up again, but it's mostly ladies.
Oh, it is.
Oh, it is. Wow. Every time. Yeah. I mean, you walk in the room, it is 80% women most of the time, if not 90.
You know why? I think maybe because it's like a softcore version of like dancing in strip clubs.
Yeah,
right?
I think that, you know, and this is just me openly admitting it, I love strip clubs.
Do you?
I think that they're super fun. I think that, you know, it's just, it's a very feminine thing. I say feminine again, but you can be a male and do boylesque too. But I just always have loved strip clubs. I think that it's just a fun thing that girls can get into. And I think that burlesque clubs make it even more of a safe environment for women
and
to come.
It more accessible.
That's true.
Yeah.
And everybody likes looking at naked bodies.
Right. And beautiful
everyone
women.
Does.
Yeah. Everyone
well, particularly,
does.
Particularly, I think a lot of women like looking at women. They like looking at men too. But what burlesque does is it makes the whole spectacle more theatrical. It gives you something extra than just voyeurism.
Right.
When you're at a strip club, you know, there can be that tension where you feel like maybe the people working there aren't happy working there, and it's a strange kind of power relationship.
Yeah.
But when you watch a burlesque show, you know that the performer is performing on their own terms. They've chosen exactly the character that they want to portray. They've chosen their costume, their music. They've done their own choreography. It's you know, everyone talks about empowerment, but it is very empowering. And I think the audience feeds off that. That's what makes it so sexy, is that these women who are performing are, they've controlled everything that they're doing. You know,
they're
very empowered women. And I think that's particularly exciting for women in the audience to see women in that position.
Right.
And that's what makes it so fun.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, when people audition for you, Donna, do you, I mean, obviously you have to think the body is going to work too, right? Not just the talent.
You know, I really, what's beautiful about burlesque is it's not a particular, like in LA, when you go to an audition, they're looking for the person who's the most fit, long blonde hair, you know, all these different things. And with burlesque, you can be any body type, mm-hmm. any hair color. My show showcases girls that we do have voluptuous women in the show. And to me, sometimes those girls, they shine the most. I mean, I think that it's you being comfortable in your own skin. And
right,
I don't audition people to be in the show. How I do Tease If You Please is I have people send me full length videos, because I feel that if you are a professional, I hate saying professional, if you are a burlesque performer and you've been doing it for a long time and it's something that you take very seriously, you have full length videos of yourself performing in places.
Oh, wow.
So that's how I usually just tell people, if you'd like to submit an act, you can send it to my email, I review it. And then if it works with the aesthetic of the show, which is, you know, hard, because I feel like we have all different characters. We do classic, we do edgy, we do alternative. I mean, there's all different types of acts in the show.
Right.
So it really just depends on, do you have that it thing? Right. Is it in your eyes? Is it in your movement? Is it in your story? But there's always something about each person that hits that stage that has that it factor. And everybody in the audience would tell you that.
That's awesome.
How long do the acts last?
Acts are usually, they vary from even 3 minutes to 8 minutes. Sometimes they're very long, depending on if it's usually the longer ones are someone telling a story.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we do have shorter ones, but mostly the average is about 5 minutes.
Very cool.
So let's promote the show in the last few minutes. Tell us when and where people can go and see you.
We actually have a show tonight in downtown Los Angeles. It's 710 West 1st Street, and it's at a place called First and Hope. You can get tickets at www.teaseifyouplease.com. It's all spelled out, and it's across from the Walt Disney Concert Hall. So when you see the big silver building, you're there.
Yeah, that's a beautiful building there. Yeah. Now, so if someone wants to know in advance if it's worth the trip downtown, how far do you guys strip? When you strip, how far do you go? I mean,
Well,
some people want to know, is it worth it for me?
I was,
you know,
like, come again? Did I hear that right?
Yeah, well, I'll just go to the strip club down the street, you know?
I think it's, we go down to, usually the the typical
G-string,
G-string and pasties. Yeah, right. And very sparkly bits.
Right. But that's enough for the imagination, I think.
Yeah, you know, definitely.
And you'll get a whole lot more theater than you'll get at a strip club as well.
Right.
And that's something that's a lot harder to find, I think. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a special night out.
And burlesque is more about the tease and less about the strip. So right. I think that that's the beauty of the art is the tease mm-hmm. part of it.
Wow.
Like, oh, I'm not going to leave anything. This is it. You're done.
So cool. So what time does it start tonight?
The show is at 9:30. Doors open at 8:30. You can purchase tickets at the door. Sometimes we do sell out. So that's why we encourage you to go to teaseifyouplease.com and purchase your tickets there. We also have a dinner option. You can come at 7:30, have dinner in the beautiful restaurant, and then that gives you priority seating to the show at 9:30.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
How many people does the place...
The show fits about 90 people comfortably because everyone has you have a table and you have cocktails and they have a waitress that walks around and serves you.
So it's kind of an intimate type of
thing. It's a very intimate thing.
And a great night out.
Yeah, it's a very great night out. I mean, there's so many things to do in Hollywood and it's the same old, like, let's go to the club, let's go to the bar, let's go, and then what? And it's the same thing all the time. So I think what's so beautiful about doing this on the weekend is you go down, you get dressed up, and you have dinner at a beautiful restaurant, and then you walk into this like smoky, speakeasy little theater, and it's very intimate. You're right there with the performer. I think that's what I love about this little place so much, is because you can be on a big stage, like me and Miss Miranda just got back from Las Vegas and performed on a massive stage for the Miss Viva Las Vegas competition, and we both placed. Woo-hoo. So yeah,
nice.
So we brought home the titles, and I think that's cool. But I think that big stages are great, but this place is so awesome because it's small and intimate and you're right there. You get to see every little rhinestone in detail on everyone's costumes.
Wow.
And we come out and we talk after the show and do pictures and have conversations about what people like and all that kind of stuff. So
Whoa,
I encourage everybody to come and do something different.
Yeah.
Come to downtown and have a fancy night out with Tease.
I know. You tease the hell out of me now. I'm dying to go. I don't have a date though. So, I mean, is it okay to come by myself?
Totally okay. You sit at the bar, you know, that smoky bar with your little...
old-fashioned.
Yeah, right. like in those movies.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Sit in the corner in the dark. Hey, let me watch her dance.
Wearing a raincoat.
And then it'll be raining outside.
That's true. That's amazing. So, well, this sounds exciting. Now, Miss Miranda, when you go back, you're going to go back home after this? Or do
I fly back to London on Monday.
Okay, and do you have any gigs there that you're going to do, or are you just coming back?
I have a bunch of regular shows that I perform at, and my next show will be on the 5th of May, I think it is, at a lovely venue called Bush Hall in London.
Okay.
And that one's called A State of Undress.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right. How Sounds often good. Do you perform a week?
It varies depending on the season. Sometimes it's busier than others, but generally I'd say twice a week. Wow. I do modeling work as well, so that takes up quite a lot of my time.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. You're pretty tall, right?
I am. Yeah. 5'9".
5'9". Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And where can people find you guys? Are you on Facebook, Twitter? If you want people to get a hold of you, go ahead.
Yeah. On Instagram, I'm Miss Donna Hood, MissDonnaHood, and Donna Hood on Facebook.
Okay, sounds good. And I usually find that if people Google you, they'll find it faster than if they start writing down what you're giving them.
That's definitely true.
Yeah.
If you put Miss Miranda or Donna Hood into the search, you'll definitely find us.
Especially if you follow that with burlesque, that will narrow it down.
Yeah, you're down quite a bit.
And you'll find me.
Yeah. Awesome. Miranda, do you have your family in England still?
Yes, I do.
They're there?
Yeah, they're there. They're very supportive of what I do, which is lovely.
Right.
And I'll be seeing them soon.
Have you considered moving to LA for good?
I have, yeah. It's difficult because obviously I've been based in London for such a long time. There are so many people there that I work with regularly and most of my friends are there. But since starting to come over here more often for working, obviously I'm making lots of really great friends here too.
That's awesome.
And I would love to maybe come and spend 6 months here.
Yeah.
And you know, get to know the scene a lot better.
Yeah, save a little bit on airplane tickets too.
Well,
you know?
Yeah.
And we both, you're traveling too much.
Yeah. And we both travel over to New Orleans pretty regularly too. We do a show called Bust Out Burlesque there, and they have it at House of Blues once a month.
Wow.
And so we get to have the opportunity to go and perform with a full live band on a big stage in New Orleans. And burlesque is huge in New Orleans.
Yeah,
that sounds really cool.
So it's really, if you ever venture over to New Orleans, look up Bust Out Burlesque, and it is a great show to catch. And there's always someone, I say someone, everyone in the show is amazing.
Right. And I think maybe because there's French influence there, burlesque probably started in France, right? I mean, it even sounds like a French word.
I mean, I know that burlesque started in New Orleans like way back. Yeah. So it's been continuing to be, man, this chair.
Yeah, I mean, we got to oil this chair.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
But yeah, no, it's, I think burlesque has always been really big in New Orleans. And I think that that's what's so magical about us getting to go perform over there. It's it's this electric feeling, and everyone loves
burlesque.
With
the live band, it's just incredible. It brings so much extra energy to, to the performance and to the crowd as well. It's just
That's
everyone
true.
Feeds off it.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible. And you say a lot of women go, so they're interested in that as well. It's not a man thing at all. So it's not like
it's both.
Yeah,
it's both.
Yeah,
everyone enjoys it.
But you know, I mean, strip clubs are mostly for men, and burlesque is something else altogether.
It's for everyone.
You know?
Everyone can enjoy.
You see, maybe I'll just go by myself and meet some women
You
know, because there's going to be so many of them.
80%
you know?
Women.
Yeah, there you go.
Right?
Yeah, definitely. I'm telling you,
the odds are pretty good.
Good.
All right. Well, we got to wrap up. So Donna Hood, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having
me. Miss Miranda, everybody check out Tease if you please. You can go to the website, check it out if you can, if you're free, if you have a date. And if you're a woman without a date, I'll meet you there.
Yes.
And,
come tonight.
Yeah, I really want to come. You know, I mean, I've promised a few times and I know, but I'll make the effort. I'll let you know later
Amazing.
On, okay?
Thank
but
you
I really
so
want
much.
To come, sure.
Yay!
So everybody check it out. If you're in New York, it's worth taking a ticket and a flight down here. Are you going to take the show on the road anytime?
That is my next move. I think that getting it completely sold out every single time was where my goal was, as you know, and we're so Oh my gosh, we're so close. We're so close to having every show sold out. And so once that happens, then I think that, you know, the budget will be a little bit better because, you know, you have to save up a little bit to really promote it and push it out there. But eventually I would love to do that. And I would love to pull people from, you know, from all over to come and do the show as well to make the show a little bit longer. But yeah, going on the road would be, that's
be
the next
amazing,
big goal. So.
Awesome. Well, this is awesome, and I'm hoping to go. Charlotte, have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for joining us, and
we'll
see you
on
Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte right here on LA Talk Radio.